I want to start with a verse from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This is a day we can look forward to in faith. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yeah, there's a phrase called the seven seas. It's just a phrase that means all the seas of the world. And we want to think about the glory of the Lord that will fill the whole earth. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord with the train of his robe that filled the temple. And he instantly judged himself. We may have heard from Brother Zach in chapter 5, he was speaking about others. He said, "Woe to these people, woe to those people." But when he saw the Lord, he judged himself. And this is the mark of those who have seen the glory of the Lord. And I noticed in Isaiah chapter 6 that when Isaiah saw this vision, he heard the angels saying, "The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy is the Lord of the armies of heaven. The whole earth is full of his glory." And I was challenged that the angels are seeing something that we don't see or can't see. And we need the eyes of our heart to be opened by faith. And in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 8, it says about Jesus, it gives us a sort of clue to what is happening. It says, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 8, "You have put all things, everything in subjection under his feet." This is in verse 8. And then it goes on to say at the end of verse 8, "But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him." So all things are subjected to him, but we don't see it as of now. But the next verse says, "But we see Jesus." This is what the Lord wants to do by faith, that we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And when we see Jesus seated on the throne, then we have faith. Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 44, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" So what this world considers glory, what men think and people say about each other is not worth seeking. And we want to look at Jesus and think about the glory from the Father that he had and that he sought for all his life. I think all of us, most of us who've been here, have had the opportunity to think about and glimpse the glory of Jesus in the life of Brother Ian. And that's what I wanted to speak about. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "We run the race set before us, looking unto Jesus." And which is how is the only way we can run the race. But in the beginning of that verse, it says, "We have a great cloud of witnesses." And a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And we know that Brother Ian stands in that cloud of witnesses. It's easier for me to talk about Jesus and his glory because we have the example, the witness of Brother Ian's life before us. And I was thinking about all the things that people said about Brother Ian, and there were some words that stood out and were repeated again and again by many people. And the first word was the word compassion. So we all know that Brother Ian poured out his life to help me and many of us brothers and sisters, and he was full of compassion like Jesus. We know it says about Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 that he felt compassion for the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I know Brother Ian's testimony as to, you know, how the Lord found him as a sheep and he became a shepherd to many. And we know that Jesus, many places it expressly says that he had compassion. It says when he fed the 5,000, he had compassion on them. He healed the man with the withered hand. He healed the blind men. He raised the widow's son. Compassion, compassion, compassion was flowing out, pouring out of his life. And another word that stood out for me was the word concern. We know that Brother Ian took note of, gave importance to the needs of others above his own. And this verse was quoted, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus." This was the attitude which was in Christ Jesus, that he didn't look out for his personal interests, but for the interests of others. We know Nicodemus came to him at night, no problem. They broke open the roof of his house, not an issue. He said, "Come, let's get some rest." Called his disciples, he went there, there was a big crowd of people, not an issue. He had no time to eat, not a problem. We see the glory of Jesus there. And others spoke about Brother Ian's contentment, the smile he had, the encouragement he had for others. No matter what he was going through, cancer, the loss of his beloved sister Vicky, hardships at home, misunderstandings in the church. And he lived for 20 years in a one-bedroom house with 6 children. None of these things stopped him from serving the Lord. And it says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, "Because you loved righteousness and hated iniquity, God anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." And we know Jesus also shared a house with at least 6 siblings, and he was not a rich man, and he was anointed with the oil of gladness above everybody else. We know Jesus said, "You will all leave me alone, but I'm okay. My Father is with me." And it's quite clear that there's a connection between these things. Because Brother Ian was content in the Lord, he had a concern for others. And the love of God filled up his heart and overflowed. Like Jesus, he was also filled up with the Holy Spirit. And because he had a concern for others, he took care to understand their needs and had compassion for them. Brothers, we know these things, and I will tell you honestly at this point, as I thought about this, I felt, "Lord, I'm not like Brother Ian and I'm not like you. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm not close. And I don't understand how I can be like you." And some of you may be thinking that. You're saying, "Okay, Brother Suresh, why are you telling us all this? Some of this we know already, we have enough problems. You want us to be like Brother Ian. Why don't you do, then talk?" And then I thought I think we all should put ourselves in Brother Ian's shoes, you know, for some time. And we've heard this from him. Brother Ian and Brother Zach worked together for 50 years. And all his life, Brother Ian would have felt the pressure of comparison with Brother Zach. And I imagine that, you know, Brother Ian may have prayed, "Lord, do you want me to be like Brother Zach?" And this is what the Lord would have answered. "No, I want you to be yourself. But like Brother Zach, you too can be like me by the power of the Holy Spirit." Oh, what a challenge that is. The Lord said, the same thing to me. I want you to be yourself. But like Brother Zach, like Brother Ian, you too can be like me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say the same thing to each of you, brothers and sisters, by faith. Jesus wants you to be yourself. Come into the light. Come as you are. Come with an unveiled face. And like Brother Ian, like Brother Zach, like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, sisters, you can think of a godly woman like Mary or Sister Annie. You fill in the name of a godly witness who reflects the glory of Jesus for you. And say, I too can be like Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit. Yeah, how can this be? Mary asked this question in Luke chapter 1 verse 34. How can this be? She said, it's impossible for me to have a child. I'm a virgin. To her mind, that was a disqualification. Not possible. But we know that that was actually the qualification, that she was a virgin. Was the qualification, was what God was looking for. And the angel said, the power of the Holy Spirit will rest upon you. Nothing will be impossible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. We know that what I just said, what is impossible with man is possible with God, is what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. This was in Matthew 19. He said, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with man it is impossible. Jesus understands exactly how we feel when we see that impossibility clearly. And that is the qualification. But with God all things are possible. I really like how it reads in the Message Bible. The disciples said, who then has any chance at all? Who has any chance at all? And Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. But every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Oh, praise God. So, what is the secret? How did it begin? And once again, we know Brother Ian's story. I was thinking about it. We know there was a youth camp. And Brother Ian and Brother Zach found that they did not have power. And the Lord spoke to Brother Ian. He said, the problem is not with the young people. The problem is with you. And what that shows me is very good for me to say. Problem is not with anyone else here today. The problem is with me. And there was a cry that came up in Brother Ian's heart for the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this about Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him. That's how Jesus lived in the days of his flesh. He offered up prayers with loud crying and tears to the one who is able to save him. And we see this in Apostle Paul's life as well, this cry in Romans chapter 7 verse 24. He said, oh wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And then the next line is, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. This seems like a mystery. There's a cry that's coming out from his heart, and the next line he's saying, thanks be to God. Were his problems solved once and for all? And this is what I believe, that, yeah, there was a first time. There was a first time in Brother Ian's life where he really understood, cried out, and felt the power of God meet with him. But that became the way he lived. And that was the way that Paul lived his life as well. That In his moments of need, again and again, this cry would rise up in his heart, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And he would find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says about Jesus, in the days of his flesh. It was not just a one-time event. This cry went up from his life again and again. "Father, I need you. Save me. Help me." And the Lord answered his prayer, met with him, helped him. Yeah, when this cry comes up in our heart, the Holy Spirit will direct our eyes to the cross of Jesus Christ. We see the great cost that Jesus paid for my sake. Great man of God, C.T. Studd, said this: "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Jesus saw the sacrifice that the Father had made. God so loved me. It's good, once again, if I put my name there. That is how it becomes real and personal for me. God so loved me that he gave his son Jesus. And when Jesus saw the sacrifice his Father had made, for the joy of his Father that was set before him, he took up the cross. And like Paul, Brother Ian could also say, and we saw that in his life, "I count all things rubbish." And I think of that song by Isaac Watts. It's an old song. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, every attractive thing that we see around us, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands myself, my life, my all." Yeah, when we look upon the cross, that leads us to the resurrection life. We become partakers of a heavenly calling. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Beloved brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling," we're all taking part in this heavenly calling, "consider Jesus." Jesus called us. He called Brother Ian, he called Paul. Paul says, "I press on towards the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We recently heard a message by Brother Ian where he was saying, "The greatest thing on earth that I can do is to build the church." And I recently heard this verse from a young brother who said, he was quoting Paul's testimony in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. "God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And he was pleased to reveal his son to me." It says "to me," but if you look at the margin, it says "in me." And then it goes on to say that "I might preach him among the Gentiles." So there was a specific ministry that Paul had. But the rest of that first part of the sentence is true for all of us. That God set me apart from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, and is pleased and wants to reveal his son in me. And I can be like Jesus, join with him in building his church. Yeah, Jesus said, "I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And it's a wonderful privilege that I have that he's calling me to join with him. Yeah, and we know Brother Ian would not let himself be distracted from this priority. I think of what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 3. He said, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." Yeah, the enemies were feeding him with lies and fear and attacks in every way, you know, trying to get him to stop. But he knew that he was called to do that by the will of God. And what Brother Ian said, "My heart is the residence of love. There is no place in it for anything else." We have a high and heavenly calling to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to join with him in doing the great work that he is doing. And because of that heavenly calling, it gives us confidence and courage. We know the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, all authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. Therefore, go, be a disciple, make disciples of all men, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And I am with you always. Yeah. With Christ, I can do all things. Because he is with me. And when we think about Brother Ian, the authority and confidence he had when he spoke, he would always encourage us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so many times Brother Ian would say something simple, maybe something we've heard before, and the Holy Spirit would grab hold of me and say, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Yeah, that is the calling and the confidence that we have. And this confidence that Brother Ian had gave him contentment. He knew that Jesus was enough for him. And this contentment overflowed to concern and compassion for others. And I also see that it was that compassion that he had for others that rose again and again as a cry in his heart to the Lord. In Luke chapter 11, we see a picture of someone who is seeking for the Holy Spirit. And the picture there is that he has a burden for his friend. And he's banging the door. And I remember how Brother Ian would pray for my needs, for our needs. This is something Brother Santosh shared at his funeral, that his picture of Brother Ian lifting his hands in prayer. And we see the glory of Jesus there. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And when I think about all these things, I go back to the verse we heard many times from Brother Ian. When a person turns to the Lord, the Spirit, the veil is taken away with unveiled face. Beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus, we are transformed into his image from glory to glory. The Lord is the one who wants to write faith in our hearts, brothers and sisters, today. It's not possible with a few words to capture the glory of Jesus or to recount the blessing we received from Brother Ian's life. But I thought these words would help us to meditate. And I also was challenged, if I think about a particular aspect, to get some balance. Yeah, so for example, when we think about the word cry, the opposite words are confidence and contentment. That even when I have a cry in my heart, the Lord doesn't want me to lose my confidence and contentment. This is how Jesus prayed. He was content, he had supreme confidence. And at the same time, there was a cry in his heart. The memory verse for last week was, devote yourself to prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. Not a prayer that says, Lord, how can you do this to me? That has a complaint in it. But a prayer that has thanksgiving in it. We see a glorious balance there. I want to end with this verse in John chapter 21, verse 18. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. This is the last verse of the Gospels. If every one of them were written down, the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And have spoken about some of the things that Jesus did in and through Brother Ian's life. And I was reminded of a quote of Brother Zach. He's modified a quote by C.T. Studd. It says, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what Jesus does through me will last. Not what I do for Jesus, but what Jesus does through me will last. And when we think about the things in Brother Ian's life that will last, who did these things? Jesus did these things. And Jesus did many other things as well. And what this challenges me is that my name can be a part of this verse. This brings up a hope in my heart. My name, your name, can be included in this verse as well. That Jesus has done and will do many other things. And the whole world will be filled up with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Gospel of John, chapter 6. 6, verse 1 onwards. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of the Galilee, and a large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he has performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went unto the mountains, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near, and therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that we may eat? These may eat." So this is the same incident that Suresh was mentioning, when Jesus wanted to call his disciples and go and take some rest. That is when this large crowd followed him. And there are other parallel passages in Mark 6 and Luke 9. So here Jesus saw a need, and even disciples saw that, and they didn't know how to meet this need. The disciple didn't know. And verse 6, it says, he was saying to test them. He was saying this to test him, but he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, Bethesda, local to that place. So Jesus obviously asked him, "Where do we get bread? Do you know any shop here?" Then Philip went on calculating the money. Jesus didn't ask, "Do you have money?" He said, "Where do we get bread?" And then we see Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" So Andrew, in between, he got friendly with a child. And he asked, and he recognized, this child is something. It's like 5 barley loaves, and there's a big crowd here. And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And then men sat down. In verse 11, it says, "Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated." And most of us know the story. I would still love to read it. "And likewise also the fish, as much they wanted. And he said to the disciples, after they all ate, 'Gather up the leftover, and nothing may be lost.'" So they, in that, it was 12 basket full. So it is a wonderful, beautiful miracle that the Lord met the need of hundreds of thousands of people. But there is something which Jesus did. He took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed. And I thought of that boy. You know, I've read in the margin that barley loaves is for those who are poor. It's the food of the poor people. He had only 5 loaves, and he gave it. I was reading a couple of days back in Chennai. I think there was a flood or something, and people were trying to stock the food items, and there was panic buy. They say stock before the storm. But we trust in the storm. We don't stock. Yes, it is wise to save, but our faith is not in the riches or not in our savings. It is in Christ. But here this boy, he gave all that loss he had. See, Ananias and Sapphira, we read them. They allowed a large sum of money, but they kept something for themselves. But this boy here, he had only five loss. And a wonderful child, wonderful boy. I think I'll meet him in heaven. But he gave it to Jesus. And there is something which is a very important thing what didn't mention by in the Gospel of John, but in the parallel passage that word is mentioned. In Luke 9:16, turn to Luke 9:16. Says, Jesus took that bread and gave, blessed the food, blessed that, and then he broke it. Jesus broke the bread. So, and then it was multiplied, then he could bless. When I think of Brother Ian, the number one things which comes into my heart and mind, he was a broken man. He allowed God to break him. Most of us, or many of us, may not know, I don't even know what all he went through, but I know he allowed the Lord to break him. I don't believe God will, if I tell the Lord, Lord, it is enough, I don't want any trouble in my life, I want a smooth life, I don't think God will trouble us. But Brother Ian, he was willing to be crushed, and it is, he yielded himself like this boy. He gave all that he had into Christ, to the Lord. In Luke chapter 3, this is something in the beginning of the New Testament. Luke chapter 3. This is how John the Baptist preaching about Christ. Luke chapter 3 verse 4 onwards. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, that means every valleys will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. Now here in NASB, I see here it is written, all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. If you turn to Isaiah 40, from where it is picked up, Isaiah 40, you turn there. Isaiah 40 verse 4 onwards. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. You see how the glory of the Lord is revealed. The valleys to be lifted up, the discouragement, the gloom, the sadness, it's all need to be lifted up. And the mountain of pride, high thoughts, superiority, all that, and even the little hill, it should be made low, and the rough road should become smooth, should become plain. Why can't we work with other people, other brothers and sisters? It's because we are rough. We are not allowing God to make our rough edges smooth, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. You know what is this process is called? I thought it like this. We can study the Bible, we can hear the message, we can even ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. But still, here we see, before the glory of the Lord, the true glory of the Lord is revealed, God has to break us. And God wants to break us more than anything else. If God wants to bless us, God wants to break us. He wants to break our self-confidence, and he wants to put trust, true faith in our hearts, so that in the time of storm, and we trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, not in our own wisdom. You know, I think of a number of times we had lunch together with Brother Ian, with his wisdom and experience. I think he can speak from the beginning to end without stopping. He can speak. He's a mountain of wisdom, but he hardly opened his mouth. And a couple of times I had an opportunity to drop him at his house. He said, I would book a Uber and go. But I said, brother, there are brothers here. If you tell, they'll be so happy to come and drop you. But when he travel together, he won't speak. He just sit. You know, you sit with a broken man and you can drink of his spirit. why this woman who was a sinner who came to this place Jesus was sitting with in the house of Simon the Pharisee, he was not worried who were all sitting. He could just come and be there and do what he could and go back. Because he's a broken man, and we could go and sit without the fear of being judged. Yeah, we heard from Brother Suresh. It is impossible for a broken man to judge another person. Why we, you know, with all the knowledge we have in the scripture, with all the clarity we have in the doctrine, and if we end to judge the people, if we judge our young people, our children, we'll be driving them away from Christ. So when I look at Brother Ian's life, the number one thing I want to say, Lord, please break me. I want to be like a vessel in your hand. Not to testify, not to, you know, as we sang in that song in the beginning, the eyes of the bride is not on her dress, it's on Christ. I thought if that, you know, prodigal son, when he came back to his home and the father gave him a cloth, and if he's taken up with this cloth, what is his life? No, he's taken up with his father's love, his extravagant love. So, and I remember when at the burial ground, there was a young boy who was with Brother Ian, taking care of him day and night. A young boy, I think he believed he was a Christian, Rijo. I asked Rijo, what did Brother Ian spoke to you? Because you were with him day and night, taking care of him. So I thought maybe Brother Ian would have given him some spiritual secret or some guidelines or some advice. You know what he told? He said, Brother Ian gave me a kiss. That's what that young person remembering in his life. So when I think of Brother Ian, it's not his sermon, it's not the message he preached. It is him, the way he conducted, the way he valued each and every, even a little child. I believe even if you're a child, if you ask John Vijay's son, he will have a testimony to say, because he found time to speak to the everyone in the church. You know, I thought of it like, you know, we also heard from Santosh, what God want us to do in this situation. We can look back and be sorrowful, oh brother, Ian is no more with us. This incident came to my mind when Jesus was buried and Mary the Magdalene, she was the one God chose to reveal himself after the resurrection first. So when Jesus called her by name, Mary, then she was so excited and happy. And Jesus said, don't cling to me. It's in John chapter 20, just towards the end of John. Don't cling to me. Go and tell the brothers. Don't cling to me in an emotional way or be in that. But do what you need to do. Just go. And it said, we read that he went and announced to the disciples. I like the word, she announced. You know, usually we have brothers make announcements. That's good. But she went and spoke to these disciples, I've seen the risen Christ. So brothers and sisters, all of us, if we really want to follow, it is easy to appreciate somebody who did so much for the Lord and to each one of us. But do we want to follow? Do we want to follow? Then we must be willing to die. We must be willing, Christ, to break us. So I want to, you know, end with this, you know, in turn to Habakkuk. It's a beautiful book, only 3 chapters. He was just like us. He was a prophet, but he was an ordinary man. Habakkuk, 1st chapter, he starts with a lot of questions because he don't understand what he's going through. So when we don't understand what we are going through, brothers and sisters, God is working, God is breaking us. Is there anyone you feel that you don't understand, you planned something and exactly opposite happened, or you expected certain things to happen certain way and didn't happen that way? And brothers and sisters, the Lord is breaking. The Lord is breaking us. And it starts like this. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2. How long will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, but you don't see. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? So he was surrounded by violence and wickedness, iniquity, and a lot of questions come into his heart, his mind. I don't believe that God has promised that he will give answer to every question that arises in our heart. I didn't see a promise like that, but I see a promise. There is a peace that surpasses all our understanding. God can give us that peace. And towards the end of this chapter, we see where the Lord has led this prophet. The situations didn't change. In between, we read that word, the glory of the Lord. And then towards end, it says in verse 17, we see where the Lord has brought him to. The man who had a lot of questions, the concerns and worries about different things. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall. See, none of us are living in a village. We're all working. If you go to a village, when they face famine, you read in the paper, many of them commit suicide because they lose their crops, they lose their income. They have no option. They take a loan from the bank and then... But what? How do we respond to such a scene as a Christians, as believers? Wonderful example. He says, yes, this is my situation. This is what I'm going through. But I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. This is a mark, brothers and sisters. If we have seen the glimpse, a little bit of glory, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. May the Lord give us all grace and humility to fix our eyes on the Lord, as we heard.
Let's, before we pray, just would like to mention in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus told this woman, woman of Samaria, Samaritan woman, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. See, we hit the crisis almost every day. We have come here because we are failed ones. We're all failures in our own life. Those who want to try to improve their life, they are in the world. But we have recognized we can't make it. See, like I was thinking about what Brother Suresh was sharing in the beginning when Brother Ian was going through a situation where their Brother Ian and Brother Zach rather with young people. See, what is the solution for us when we hit the crisis every day? Our circumstances speaks to us. What do you do now? See, here Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water shall thirst again. Let me pray for 5 minutes. Let me talk to a brother, or maybe listen to one message or daily devotion, or come to the meeting. Is that okay? I think I'm okay. See, that's quite dangerous. That contentment can come just, oh, I did this, so I think now God will be okay. I'll be okay. No, we have not hit the right place. That means, have we met the Lord? Jesus is saying in verse 14, but whoever drinks of this, the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. See, Jesus is trying to say something. You have hit the crisis in your life to that woman, in Samaritan woman. But you know, I can get water from here and give it to you. But this water, all this water will quench your thirst for a moment, and you have to come back again, come back, come back, come back.
But what Jesus is saying, if you give, drink the water which I give you. See, that Jesus is offering the water of life which will fix our problem permanently. That means he himself will be fountain of water in us. Then that problem will be solved. Yeah, I was thinking about Luke 18, where Jesus said, telling them a parable, show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And there he mentions about that woman, pray at all time not to lose heart. Then verse 8 says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Margin says, this kind of faith on the earth. What is that kind of faith I want to have? Hey, that kind of faith was in Brazak or Brother Ian and many godly ones. What was that faith? That don't lose heart until you find the answer. Until you find him. Him. He is the solution. The Lord is the solution. We have to wait there. Until we find. We lose out. We are content with, oh, I prayed. I remember talking to one brother. Oh, I prayed, brother. I prayed. But then what happened? No peace still. No rest. See, that is what Jesus is saying. Will the Lord find this kind of faith that woman had, that widow had? That I will not quit until I find the answer. I think that kind of faith we need. We hit the crisis every day. All of us, even today, yesterday, I hit the crisis every day. Like all the godly ones. In fact, Paul, we heard that wonderfully. Paul said, he cried out. He cried out, what a wretched man I am. Where is the solution? Oh, in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. And I was just thinking about this verse in Acts chapter 1. Where you hear again, Jesus is saying at verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait. You get an answer. We have heard an illustration where they received the Holy Spirit maybe about 10 days later. Think about a person who left the place on ninth day. And suddenly he sees that these people are so received something from heaven next day. Oh, I missed it. No, let it not happen. Let's have faith until we hit the answer. We receive the answer. We receive him. We find him. That's the kind of faith we need, brothers and sisters. And in fact, I just would like to close here in Philippians chapter 4. It's a very important verse which I have, it made me think many, many times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Living Bible says, if you do this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, the verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but pray, wait on the Lord. And if you do this, peace of God. See, peace of God will come when we wait upon the Lord and when the Lord grants us that grace. We have to wait. We should not lose faith, lose heart. May the Lord help us. That's how the many examples we see, godly examples, they have found Christ. But there was a waiting period. They waited until, I think they said that, I don't care if it takes 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 10 day. I remember once Brother Zach saying, I will not leave you, Lord, even if it takes 10 years. That really encouraged me. When we say that, immediately the answer will come. May the Lord help us.